Welcome to Two Girls Talking, our weekly podcast. I'm 97.1 The River rock radio host Katie Kiley with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's music critic Melissa Ruggeri. We are buddies, we are Two Girls Talking, and this is episode number 10. And don't forget, by the way, to subscribe and tell your friends if you like what you hear, and I think you're going to love what you hear.
At least today.
Podcast. Yeah. Well, we were originally going to do this about Alex Cooley, our good friend who passed away December 2nd, 3 years ago. He was a great rock promoter.
Yeah.
And we were still going to do something about Alex, but we had a phone call pop up of somebody saying, would you like to interview Rick Ocasek of the Cars? And we were like, what?
We said, yeah, we could do that.
We knew he was going to be in Atlanta this weekend coming up. For an art show. He does art also. We just thought our conversation with him went so well. We just got off the phone with him that we thought we should share this with you today.
And what was really cool is that he talked to us for a little more than half an hour. And from everything we've heard, he's not usually a big talker. So it kind of made us feel good, too. He liked talking to us.
Well, the thing is, you sort of think about those people and you can kind of tell, you know, he always seemed kind of shy and you didn't hear him talk too much. But the fact that we just went right into it with him and he was very talkative made us feel great. But it's also such an incredible artist all the way around.
Yes.
He does all kinds of stuff. But
production, music, art.
It's almost like you could feel him pinching himself about some of the stuff that's been happening in the art world for him. But we're going to let you listen to it. I'm not even going to edit this very much because I think it'll be kind of interesting for you to hear how Melissa and I will do some of our interviews together because she, of course, is writing and typing in the background. And I'm thinking of the audio part of it. So she and I have been for about a year now doing
more,
interviews
actually,
in tandem that way, and it goes very well.
It does, because we can look at each other across the board and sort of do the high sign of, hey, I'm going to say something, or I'm going to shut up now, or, you know, I'm good to go.
Yeah, what have you got? And it's interesting. Right. We're getting to learn each other very well of who wants to ask what certain kind of questions. So we're going to let you hear this. It's Rick Ocasek of The Cars with Melissa and me just today. Hello, this is Katie and Melissa.
Hi, Katie and Melissa. How are you?
Good. Hey, is this Rick?
How you doing down there?
Doing great. We're freezing. Where are you?
Oh, I'm up here in New York City, so I'm kind of cold myself.
You're freezing as well. Yeah.
I got to just say, and I have no embarrassment in saying this in front of one of my really good friends and stuff, I love you. And
I cannot believe
that in all these years I've been in radio in Atlanta for 35 years, we've never talked before. So I'm so excited speaking to you.
Oh,
yeah,
I know. You don't do this very often because I've been writing about music for 20-something years and we've never spoken before either. So Katie and I are very excited.
Very psyched to talk to
you
today.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. That's so nice.
Yes.
And I'll be there tomorrow, you know.
When you do these appearances at the various Wentworth galleries, do you typically have some time to come in to spend in the city?
Yeah, I do, actually. Not much, though. It's usually just a day or two. So I've been to Atlanta.
You have? Have you ever spent any amount of time here?
Well, no, not beyond the amount of time it takes to tour. But I know it was always one of my favorite cities. I mean, it was always like, oh, great, we're going to Atlanta.
But you've never spent much time here. I remember seeing you back, I think it was 81, at the Omni here.
Oh.
Actually wearing a pair of yellow pants. I really am so proud of that picture of myself. But we go way back. And honestly, you are a Renaissance man. I had no idea about your art. I think I would have assumed that you might have done it because of the videos. But wow, I love it. I love your artwork.
Oh. That's so nice. Yeah, I've been doing it for a really long time. It's like one of those things you do, but you never bring out. Because I never thought, sometimes when if I produce a band, I'd give them something I was drawing while they were working. But I just kept things for, I don't know what reason. I never had any intentions of showing it or even doing anything with it, really, except kind of just, leaving it in a pile. But I didn't want to throw stuff away because it did take work and that's it. So that's why it never really came out until I did a couple of gallery shows in Manhattan. And then some people saw that. And then some people wanted to Wentworth wanted to put it in galleries. And I thought, oh, that's different. Geez, I better try it. All right, I'll try that.
When was that you started doing the couple of gallery shows in Manhattan?
Well, in Manhattan, probably a few years ago. I did one at a gallery called Sanders Gallery, which is in Brooklyn. And I did one in Manhattan. And I also did one in Columbus, Ohio. And then I didn't do any for a while. And then Christian Wentworth showed up, and here we are.
What's it like for you interacting with people to talk about your art? Because I would guess it's different than, you know, being a performer on stage, because it's a much more intimate experience, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a different thing to talk about because art's a pretty quiet thing when you think about it. It's really just a visual thing. I don't know. how much you can really say about it. You know, I'm not like an art historian or anything, and I don't even really follow art that much. I mean, my favorite art's always been pop art and also maybe abstract impressionism a little bit. But this sounds funny, but I never actually thought of myself as being an artist that draws. I just thought about the music part. But I guess if you do something long enough, it takes on some sort of a special character, I suppose. I mean, no matter what you do.
You never studied art then? You never took an art class?
No, but I did do drafting. I was doing drafting when I was like 20 for the AT&T phone switching company. I used to draw like switching systems and stuff like that, which requires, you know, some pretty detailed and accurate work.
Yes.
So, but anyway.
That explains a lot, though, looking at your work.
Yeah, exactly. You get a little bit of that line stuff around. But it's hard for me to draw anything that looks realistic. And sometimes when I happen upon something that looks a little bit realistic, like a flower or something that's, you know, I go, oh, hey, that looks like a real drawing.
Or the buildings. I love your buildings.
I couldn't really, like, draw a person, you know, or a face or anything like that. I don't know if that's required in art anyway, but still, it just means that I guess it's just a kind of art that I can only do.
Is this a time of your life where you're thinking, all right, I'm going to dedicate myself now to doing this? Or is this just one of those little chapters of all the zillions of things that you do in your life?
It is more of that. It's more like I've been doing it for a long, long time, probably since the 70s. And I've always never, like I said before, I always kept it, you know, in a folder or kept it somewhere, but never really thought about ever putting it out or anything like that. I just kept it because it took some work to do it. But, you know, for me, it's almost I do it kind of all the time simultaneously. It's when I'm thinking or it's when I'm – most of those drawings are just what I've – it's sort of like when you're dreaming away or you're just thinking or you're just pondering or whatever. I guess those are the kind of a way to put it down on paper or something. But I don't go, oh, I've got to draw this or I have to go draw something. I think I just kind of constantly do it.
Have you seen any of Jimi Hendrix's pieces?
No, I actually haven't.
Did he
do some good drawings?
Yeah, but the thing is, when I read your quote about how your main medium is drawing on paper mostly with colored markers, I have a piece that's a print of his, and it looks like it must have started as a bong. Like, it was a sort of shape like that.
Probably.
But it's doodling. It's these beautiful doodles that are the colors, and you could tell it. That's what he did, but it's extraordinary. Uh-huh. And I never really knew he did it, and I was at a charity event and saw this, and I was like, I have to have that drawing.
That's
it's
nice.
Just, so you need to look for it, because the colors are what reminded me of it with your work.
I love colors, and I do buy specific things, like, make, you know, I do use Japanese markers and all kinds of funny kinds of pens that you wouldn't find in, it's hard to find kind of pens.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And sometimes brushes. I mean, actually, sometimes canvases with acrylics. Those take much more time, canvases with acrylics. Yeah, they're much more time consuming. But I do those too, so there's a lot of different techniques you can do.
How did you get into using, you know, these Japanese pens and stuff? Like, where did you see it or hear about it that you thought, oh, this is something I want to work with or try applying?
I just going to art supply stores and seeing, you know, pen displays and then just trying them out. I like the Japanese ones because they have a sort of a brush tip rather than like a hard tip. Mm-hmm. You know, they're almost like a paintbrush with ink in it, you know.
Oh, that's cool.
Already pre-inked. Mm-hmm. And then there are certain pens. It's funny how you get into, like, the things you use. Yeah, just certain pens that I like, the way they flow. And I also get down to what kind of paper it is, because some papers take ink better or take colors better.
Right,
right.
Yeah, usually it's just ongoing all the time. I mean, if I just keep books, you know, I'm just always in the books doing that.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not doing something more serious.
Your mixed media stuff with the photographs, because you actually had a book out, gosh, what, a handful of years ago or a little more?
Yeah.
With your poetry and photographs,
too.
Yeah,
the lyrics and prose.
Yes.
Yeah, I actually, photographs are also a huge part of things I do. And I do a lot of, I've been, you know, shooting photographs ever since I was a kid. I used to develop photographs when I was a kid.
Oh, that's great.
And then I really got into Well, I was really into Polaroid for a bunch of years, to a point of where I used to buy 35 millimeter Polaroid film and shoot it with red filters and do all this stuff. So I really know pretty much about photography. And I do carry them around. It's funny, I have to say that when the cars were on tour, I don't know why, but I never really took a camera with me.
Oh, that would have been good.
I had a Polaroid, but I didn't have any real cameras. And I think I was too busy to even think about it.
I'll bet you're right, yeah.
But, I know that we used to, like, a lot of guys in the band had Polaroids, and we used to take Polaroids and tape them on each other's, hotel rooms. Funny stuff, like a picture of a fly on an egg, or something weird. Yeah.
I love that.
I'm sure at some point you must have paid a photographer a lot of money to be taking pictures of you guys on tour instead.
Yeah, I know. It's true. And we never really, did it ourselves too much. So I regret not doing that when we were on tour. But there was plenty of pictures of us anyway. We didn't need more, that's for sure.
How did, when the video age struck, you would think of the Cars as a very artistic band anyway, just the album covers. I can remember just so well buying that first album and just how cool and artistic and poppy it was. Tell me about when the video, MTV, what it did for the Cars and you with your art, because there were some crazy videos you guys did.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah, that all worked out pretty well. I mean, considering, like, we were there when videos were basically starting. And before even MTV, we did a couple of videos of us playing, live. I guess mostly for Europe or for England, for Top of the Pops. Sometimes they would want videos. Mm-hmm. And this is before MTV, so we did a couple for Europe. And then when MTV came, they were going, we need video. They were calling our manager, begging them for any kind of material that we had, that we could show, because they didn't have very much. So we were lucky to be like right in the beginning when they really needed it. But we also went through a period of not thinking videos were good to do. In the very beginning, we didn't want to do any because we felt like to make up some storyline and put it with the song would change like what people thought of the song. So we didn't quite know how to approach it. And I think in the beginning it was mostly all live, because then you can't really screw up what it means.
Right.
But then as soon as you start getting into something like You Might Think, that was like took a lot of persuasion to get us to do that. But they did such a great job when it was done. I thought, well, that looks pretty good. That's pretty good.
Still to this day. Yeah, it's so shockingly great.
Yeah, so it worked out that, we just sort of said, okay, well, this medium's pretty good. We'll see. And some of them are really good and some of them are not so good. But whatever. That's the way it works out.
Well, humor, too, goes a long way, I think. And you can tell that there was a lot of humor in those.
Well, and you also, Andy Warhol worked with you guys on the Hello Again video, right?
Yeah, he did, definitely.
And you have a great photograph of him
that's part of your
artwork.
And it seems as if your artwork also has a lot of influence, that pop art thing. Did you guys ever talk art when you were together?
Yeah, well, Andy was kind of a pretty good friend of mine over time. And I used to go over to the factory all the time and look at his stuff. He was always, he painted every single day. I mean, you wouldn't think so. I don't know what you hear about his work, but he's definitely a hands-on artist. And, I liked it. Everything he ever did, I liked. I liked his idea. I liked his philosophy and just the general idea of how he approached art and what art means. And I could see the reasons that he did it that way. So, yeah, we never really talked art. But Andy was kind of a quiet talker, but he had a lot to say. Mm-hmm. He didn't talk much about art, actually. He talked about life and people and gossip and kind of stuff like that, But he kept the art scene going, in New York City. He was always hanging out with brand new artists. And if you saw Andy with an artist at a table eating dinner somewhere, that artist was probably going to get noticed, later. And then when Andy died, the whole art scene just went nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no more new artists. There was no more. He sort of was a patron of the arts as well.
That's very interesting and sad, actually, to hear. Yeah.
I know, because you would think that would sustain itself in a city like New York, but it's true, without anybody there to shepherd it.
Yeah, exactly, because it's a quiet scene. The art
right.
Scene.
Well, you know, you've talked about drawing as almost meditative, and I was curious, do you listen to music when you draw, and do you have a certain spot in your apartment or your home where you do it?
No, I don't listen to music when I do it. I could do it, you know, in an airplane or a car or just sitting around. No, but I said meditative. Yeah, I just mean, okay, so if I'm having a quiet time and I'm kind of like thinking stuff or just overwhelmed with some kind of stuff, I might just have paper in front of me and be kind of just drawing, you know, and I guess whatever I'm thinking about constitutes whatever comes out, whatever goes onto the paper. And if it takes more than a day, you know, I can do it while I'm on the phone. I do a lot of them while I'm on the phone.
Wow.
Or at least start them. Although I haven't started any with you guys yet.
Oh, I was going to say, come on. We'll come out and see it on Saturday.
I may very well, yeah. And so it just comes spontaneously. And, you know, I can be interrupted on that, whereas in music I probably couldn't be interrupted too easily. You know, I could get up and change and then go back to stuff later. And so some things have more than one zen out thing, you know, and some are quicker.
It's got to be a lot different. Your art thing is a very solo thing. Let's talk about your band. That was so amazing. We were so happy to see you inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame so belatedly.
Yeah.
That was like, what the hell's wrong with them? But it was a thrilling night, really. I think that was the sole thing I was looking forward to, was to see you inducted. Tell me a little bit about that night.
Yeah, it was really quite great that we were fun. You know, I'm glad we did get inducted. It was kind of weird because, you know, we obviously hadn't played for a while.
Right.
A good while. And just the shock of, hey, you're going to play. And, you know, David was like, David has an art gallery, in, you know, up in Gloucester, Massachusetts. And I don't think he had played drums for 5-8 years. I don't know. And he said, I have to get the drums out of storage. And everybody, and we thought it was going to be kind of pretty hard, but we went to Cleveland, I guess, a few days, 4 or 5 days before the gig, and we rehearsed there. It was like we just played yesterday.
Oh, you know, you're like, kidding.
I can't believe how it just, like, falls in. The only thing, obviously, missing was, you know, Ben not being there, which was very strange. But we had done... Yeah, we did a little tour for a move like this, but then we didn't have Ben. But we didn't have any bass player at all. We used Craig, and he played it on keyboards or programmed it. But when we did this, we thought we needed one, so we got Scott Schreiner from Weezer to do the bass, because I knew he was a good singer. He'd be good for backups and bass.
Yeah.
So it was fun to have him. And it all worked out pretty nice. I mean, I don't know. It was, like, quite a night. So it was, it was kind of thrilling.
For the fans, it was very thrilling.
I
just have to give you a little aside here that Ben spent time in Atlanta at the end of his life, and I got to know him through some other musician friends that he was playing with at the time. I remember he was with Big People. And
yeah, that's right.
Liberty DeVito. Yeah. And
he was in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I know he was also in Austin for a while, but...
Yeah, this is where he fell in love with a girl, and his life was going really well, and it was devastating, just devastating. And I got to spend time with him, you know, to get to know him a little bit. What a sweet person.
Yeah, he was very sweet. He was very, we were extremely close for so many years.
So long.
When we were like 19 or something, and then every band I ever had or every musical thing that we ever did was always, he was always, you know, it was always him and I. And so it was a kind of funny life. And we went through a lot of different things, yeah.
I look back at your bio. I was just trying to kind of study up a little bit, but I was like, holy cow, I can't believe how many bands you were in before the Cars.
Yeah.
But we
had a bunch.
You did, yeah. And the names were great. But the fact that you were with Ben most of the time, I just thought that's very special. And he always had lovely things to say about you. But I can't even imagine what that must have felt like having him not there with you, but I'm sure in spirit at the induction ceremony.
Yeah, most certainly. That was definitely.
Did it mean something that it was in Cleveland too? I mean, just by fact that that's where you were. Tell me.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it meant something. Well, I lived in Cleveland for a while too.
Yeah.
And then Ben, obviously, that's where I didn't meet him there. I met him in Columbus, but I had been to his house in Cleveland and all that, you know, and I knew all about his teen band, the Grasshoppers.
Yeah.
You know, I knew that song. you know, You Came Into My Life was one of my favorite songs.
Oh, that's cool.
It's funny that I met him years, you know, he was like 15 then, I guess, but, and then I met him in Columbus, Ohio. He was booking bands. He was like a booking agent. And he said, I can play too. I can play guitar and sing. And I said, really? He said, you know, you should come over to the house, you know, and check it out. And he came over and he played acoustic guitar and he sang Yesterday.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, you got to be kidding me. Is that really your voice? That voice is unbelievable. Or you should join the band. And he said, okay. And the next day we was in it.
Oh.
And we were like practicing with him. And he had to get equipment. And, well, at first he didn't even play an instrument for a while. I mean, he could play almost every instrument. But when he started off, he was just a singer. And then he started playing actually keyboards a little bit and eventually gravitated to bass. It's almost like whatever instrument you need, a Ben could play.
Oh, isn't that cool?
If you need a drummer, he'd play that. Or if you need a keyboard, he'd play that. But he just had this beautiful voice and presence. And he's a very beautiful person, beautiful guy, very good looking.
Yes, but and also when you meet somebody like that, that you love their music so much, I thought this guy, I'm sure, is going to be a jerk. Like even talking to you, I'm just like, wow, you're just so easy to talk to. You know, you're just never sure when it's somebody that you like that much. And I thought he was really a terrific guy. And I'm curious, too, because my family's from Marblehead, Mass. How did you guys go from Cleveland to Boston? Because I know that radio in Boston actually helped you guys get your first kind of kick, right?
Yeah, they did. Well, Ben and I were in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and we had a band there called Leatherwood, and it wasn't very long we were there. We were there for about 4 or 5 months, and we stayed in Ann Arbor and played this. Actually, we opened for the MC5 and Iggy.
Oh, wow.
So that was an outdoor gig. So
that was a big deal for you, I'm sure. That's cool.
Well, for us, we thought we were like, you know, with the superstars.
Yeah.
And then we just, you know, we didn't have a band was, you know, sturdy. So we went to Boston because it was, partly because I thought they had a pretty good folk scene. And we could play acoustically in a lot of the places there, just him and I.
Ah.
And so we went there to do that. And we did do that for probably a year and a half. We were playing pretty frequently in these little clubs, these little acoustic clubs. And playing there in songs and everything. And then we started a band in Boston. Actually, let's see, one, two. Well, we had Milkwood.
Milkwood.
And then we had Richard and the Rabbits. And then we had Captain Swing. And then the Cars. And all those bands had one or more of the Cars in it until we just coagulated everything into us five. And and WBCN loved, they heard our demos, and Max Hansen heard her demos and started playing those on the radio. And that was a big station.
Yes.
And they were just, you know, they were free to play what they wanted. And they actually really, if it wasn't for them, I don't know. We were doing really well in the clubs. But I think that's why the radio station wanted to play. Because we were drawing a lot of people. And it was really shocking to us that we were drawing a lot of people, because it was the first band where there was like lines around the block, and we were going, what the hell's going on? You know, what are we doing right? Better not change anything.
That's right.
And then, you know, once they started playing that, then the record companies started coming in, like, droves.
Well, you did so much right, especially being yourselves. The thing is, I can't even think of another band that's, well, I'm sure there are that if I really thought, but you were your own band, that nobody sounded anything like you. You just came around at just the right time. Everybody liked to call it New Wave or whatever, but I was like, no, this is just as...
Yeah, I know. We thought that was funny, too.
It really, really wonderful, and we're both big fans.
Are you still working on another solo compilation?
Yeah, I am. I have an anthology thing. It's going to be... we're shooting for spring, but yeah, I wanted to do stuff from the solo albums, and then I wanted to put about an extra 10 or 15 songs on it who have never been out, never been released. But they could be more like on the homebrew side, but I think they're cool things, so I just thought it would be a waste not to have them on something, you know, these days, because you can put as much stuff as you want on something.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm going to get around to doing that, and then I wouldn't be surprised if I didn't eventually come up with another album, but only because I think you just don't stop doing it.
Right.
But I've certainly taken enough time between them.
Yes, you have.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. It's just like getting sidetracked on life, I guess.
Yeah, but that's a good thing.
At this time, and I did a lot of work. So, yeah.
And you don't enjoy touring, correct? That's like for you. Is this?
Well, I don't now. No, I don't. I don't anymore. I know it's odd to say. I mean, some people like live on touring.
Yeah, I know it.
Well, when first touring, I loved it. You know, it was great with the Cars. But even when we were touring with the Cars, it was always, we'll tour and, you know, we'll be out there for 8 months, and then you have about a month to write all the songs for the next album.
Right.
And I'm like, what? You know, I couldn't. The thing was like, I mean, it's much harder writing songs than playing them.
Yeah.
And so a lot of that was conflicting for me. And whereas really, what I really feel most like is a songwriter rather than a performer.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, even though I performed my whole life, I never really thought about being out in the front and doing that. That was great, being out in the front, and you know, I was happy to be on the side, and so I just had more of I cared more about what we've been talking about, art, mm-hmm. and music, and writing, making things, just doing things that are different, and not worried so much about playing the songs all the time the same on stage.
Yes, and, yeah, that's
you know
gotta,
what I mean.
Yes, mm-hmm. I do.
But I think people, well, you know. Every musician has a different thing that they do best. And I think people love the tour. And it's great. And people love to see it. And I don't mind it. I like it a lot. But I just don't want to spend months out there.
Well, I think the fact that we can see you now. What's the weirdest thing that's happened with any listener or person that's come out to any of these art things? Have there been any good stories for you? Or you're just like, oh, my gosh.
No, it's kind of odd in a way. Because I go to these galleries and meet people who are coming, and it's weird. It's like Polaroids and chicken fingers, which we used to call, you know, those backstage things after the gig.
Yes.
You know, and then you're meeting. It's nice to meet people, but it's like, you know, you get put into a room to meet people.
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
and I'm not exactly the most sociable. I'm sort of like an anti-social extrovert, you know, so it's like hard to go in and be like a smiley guy, but I guess I kind of do it.
I know. Well, that's right. where I was saying when I first heard your voice when we were talking to you, I was like, he sounds like he's happy. This is great.
I know. I'm just making it all up.
There you go. That's even better.
A little bit of a performer in you still, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, this has been such a treat for us. We're both going to be there, so we hope to see you.
Are you really? Oh, it's going to be so good to see you.
Yes, you too. But we are happy to help get people to see your art and hopefully have a chance to meet you. You're just so special to us. So thank you for taking so much time out for us.
Thanks for having me, and I'm happy to see you there.
We'll see you Saturday.
Thanks, Rick.
All right. Bye, girls.
All right.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So there you have it. And you should look. There's got to be a schedule of where Rick is doing his art shows.
He's been doing them for a while.
Yeah.
He's been doing them at least since last year. He started doing them at Wentworth Galleries around the country. He was in Short Hill, New Jersey. And of course, he's going to be in Atlanta this weekend, probably doing a couple more in the future. So if he happens to be coming where you are.
Yeah, you want to check it out. And we'll let you know next week, too. We're going to go see it this Saturday and see how these things go. I mean, you've been to one with Mick Fleetwood, one of the art shows.
I have. And, you know, we've talked to Paul Stanley and Rick Allen have also done these shows here in Atlanta. And both of us were always out of town the weekend they were here. So we haven't been able to go experience that. But the Mick Fleetwood one, you know, it's kind of cool to see them in a different element.
Yes.
And interacting with people on a level discussing art and not necessarily music. And I think people, for the most part, seemed respectful of that. Of course, you get the fans who show up, but, you know, they're pretty strict about, you know, you can't show up with your album covers and ask
right,
for an autograph.
Right.
But you have to RSVP. It is free to go, but you have to RSVP. And it's cool to come say hi, but they really want you to come if you're actually considering buying
art. A piece of art.
And, you know, his stuff is really cool. If you look on the website and
great
see his
colors
pop art.
And just mm-hmm. very poppy. It's really fun to look at. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, if you think of the Cars videos, it's kind of funny because you talked to him about that, about about, you know, just how they sort of always were looking at the visual aspect of things. So
very
that's
artistic.
Always kind of been something that drove him artistically and visually, even putting the videos together.
Yes, absolutely. Such a great band and such a great guy to talk to. We really enjoyed it. And, you know, we are always looking forward to hearing from you. You can go to our Facebook page, Two Girls Talking. That's the number 2 Girls Talking. And then we also have
our Gmail account, which is twogirlstalking11, the number 11 at gmail.com. And let us know what you think, what you might want to hear from us. And if you have any questions or comments or suggestions, we are open to all.
Absolutely. And don't forget to subscribe. Tell your friends if you enjoy hearing Two Girls Talking with rock stars from time to time. We love it. Have a great week.